The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Should the primary be ended? If you're a DeSantis supporter, a Nikki Haley supporter, Mike Pence supporter, I hope you listen to this entire episode. If you vehemently disagree, I mean this sincerely. I want to hear from you. What is the counterpoint to what I talk about? I think it's a very fair argument. It's a very forceful argument. Listen to it and email me your dissension, your disagreement. I want to hear from you. More importantly, text this episode to a single friend who disagrees. I'd love to hear what the counterpoint to this is, or what is the plan? Is there a plan? You'll know what I mean if you listen. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today. Turning Point USA is the nation's largest educational movement that is working every day to save Western society. That's tpusa.com, tpusa.com. I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com, and make sure you're subscribed to our podcast and get friends to do the same. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. It's the first day of August. You know that July and August are straight from the Roman times, Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus. That's some nice trivia for you. Honored to be with you. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. No, I do not know as much about the Roman Empire as Blake, but I know enough to be dangerous. Honored to be with you guys. I want to tell you about a tweet I sent yesterday, which is a perfect lead. But before I get into that, let me just build up to it. I find in life, whether I'm doing meetings at Turning Point USA, giving people advice, receiving emails, there's a difference between activity and results-driven behavior. Far too often, people meander through life. They don't really know what their goal is. They don't know where they're going. What is the destination? What does success look like? This seems so obvious, but it's also helpful in your own life. Have you written down on a piece of paper, what does success look like? What does a 90-day goal look like? What does a 120-day goal look like? What does a six-month goal look like? In politics, this is rarely ever said out loud. The Democrats, they have very specific goals of ushering in a progressive, totalitarian, some would say Marxist or communistic version of government over America. Now, Marxists need to do three things. It's called the Big Three. You've heard me talk about this before, but if you ever want to explain Marxism to a friend, it's very simple. They must destroy private property, family, and religion. That's it. Marxism must get rid of those three things. Karl Marx wrote extensively about removing those three things. Family, religion, property. Everything the parasitic left is focused on is making it harder to own private property. They want you to be a renter, harder to raise your kids, destroy the family, and less attached to a religion or a belief in a higher power, a transcendent order. So what is the goal here? I have to ask this question, which, again, I should not have to ask. I have a chance to talk to some amazing people that are in the conservative movement, some people that have been unbelievably successful in business. And I had a conversation recently with someone who wrote a 7-figure check to a super PAC that was not Donald Trump's, wrote a very big check in support of a certain candidate. It's not Ron DeSantis. And I was nice about it, but I said, what is the goal here? Why are you writing a 7-figure check to a candidate who almost certainly is not going to win? And the donor said, well, it's a good candidate, good message. I think that this person would be a better choice than Donald Trump. But I said, yeah, have you thought through, though, do we have ballot chasing, secure elections, grassroots workers in Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin? And he said, we can worry about that after the primary. And I said, well, that's actually not true. You have to make those investments now. You have to hire the ballot chasers. And it just wasn't resonating in the conversation, basically went a different direction. Reports are coming out that tens of millions and soon to be hundreds of millions of dollars are going into super PACs to boost candidates, that absent a black swan event, that money is going to be burned. That money is going to be incinerated. Now, while Joe Biden is under legitimate accusations because he's a traitor to the country of selling on America for cash, and I just laugh. People say, oh, yeah, Joe Biden was just talking about the weather. Right. And Loretta Lynch was just talking about golf and grandkids on the tarmac at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. Sure. It's always just golf, grandkids, weather. Joe Biden is under serious accusations, but the Democrats are confident because they don't have any such primary. They're building billions of dollars of war chests for infrastructure. Republicans are doing no such investments. Instead, we are interested in vanity projects. MSN.com, I know some of these donors, and I'm not going to criticize them. I see things differently. But at CNBC.com, by Brian Schwartz, Peltz, Druckenmiller, Navarro give big to Tim Scott's pack as DeSantis falters. I know some of the people running Tim Scott's packs. Very sweet people. I do not think this is the best expenditure of resources at all, given the set of circumstances. Our money is getting flushed largely down the toilet while Democrats are building the real plumbing of elections. So I had enough of it. You know, we had a team meeting. I said, let's send up a tweet. I don't know if it's going to be a popular tweet. I don't know if it's going to be an unpopular tweet. Donald Trump is going to be the nominee absent a black swan event. These indictments only boost him in the polls. By the way, I'm being told by people that January 6th indictments are going to be filed today. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. We'll find out. It seems as if any moment now the January 6th indictments are going to come down. Maybe my sources are wrong. We'll see. But it seems like it's imminent. Plus, you got Fulton County and all this. We're so desensitized to indicting the opposition leader. We just say, oh, it's indictment day. It's another day that ends in Y. The fact that we're desensitized to it is sick. It's cruel. It's awful. It shows how effective the Marxist totalitarian progressives have been at moving the Overton window. So I said, let's send up a tweet. This is a complete and total waste of time. What's going on in this primary? We are not building Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin infrastructure. We are in a place where we have limited resources. The left has unlimited resources. We had an event at Turning Point Action Conference. I'm telling you right now, Donald Trump is not going to have his support eroded. I had another call with a donor recently, and he said, Charlie, Donald Trump is not going to win the nomination because Ron DeSantis, once he gets him on a debate stage, the country will see the contrast. I said, with all possible due respect, you do not understand the Republican base. You just don't. The Republican base is not looking at this as a policy debate. We've been through this in great detail. I try to communicate this to people, and I do so unsuccessfully because there's just such a huge disconnect. And I know that's kind of a very cliche thing to say. I'm happy to try to explain it to you, but I'm also telling you I'm in touch with the base, and I'm part of the base. Not going to happen. Donald Trump's basement is now 50%. His ceiling is upwards of 75 to 80%. So it's going to be somewhere in that range, which, by the way, means he'll win like 95% of all the delegates. So we sent out this tweet that made people so angry in the DeSantis camp and other places. And I went out of my way to be nice. In fact, I received criticism for being too nice to Ron DeSantis. In fact, people said, Charlie, how dare you be so nice? Okay. I said this. The newly released New York Times Siena poll should confirm what many of us have suspected for months now. The GOP primary is over. The poll showed Donald Trump up, what, 35 points, guys? Right? 35, 40 points? Is that right? Something like, I want to make sure I'm precise. 37 points. Thank you. I like Governor DeSantis and have tremendous respect for him as a man and as a governor. I consider him a friend and I believe he's America's greatest governor. As such, I have refused to get in the mud and attack him. He's a great American. I want him to remain a dominant political player for years and decades to come, but his campaign has failed to gain traction. Pause. I got attacked for even that paragraph. Now is the time for conservatives unite and defeat the Democrats and their machine in 2024. Yes, Trump will be facing 4 or 5 indictments, but the American people see through them as the political witch hunt that they are. They recognize that the intel agencies and federal Leviathan have been weaponized to eliminate their number one threat. But our greatest challenge ahead of 2024 is the billions of dollars being spent on ballot harvesting, negative ads, and lawsuits by a well-funded and motivated left. They will outperform polling in key districts, because they are investing resources to get out low propensity voters who otherwise couldn't be bothered. Will the GOP do the same? We cannot afford to waste $1.5 billion on a pointless massacre of a primary. We will not have enough money left over to properly invest in ballot chasing in key states. Investment must be made now. We must unite. And again, I will get back to how I started. What is the goal? Is the goal to spend a bunch of money, make yourself feel good? Or is the goal to defeat the Marxist Democrats in November of 2024? And I could be honest with you, based on conversations with some, not all, based on conversations with some donors, they don't care about beating the Marxist Democrats in 2024. They would rather spend all their money to disrupt and confuse and upset Donald Trump than make any investments in Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin. And we're seeing that now. It's going to be a $1 billion primary. Donald Trump has a chance to just run the table. Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. But for what? What is the goal here? And the Democrats are delighting. The Democrats know that their path to holding on power, despite them being unpopular, illegitimate, and traitors to America, is that our own side can't get its act together. That we're going to have a $1.5 billion primary, and then all of a sudden in April of next year, I guarantee you some of these donors will change their tune. They'll say, oh, Donald Trump's not that bad. I've been through this. I've seen it before, okay? And they're going to be like, well, where can we spend money? And you know what I'm going to say is, too late. It's too late. While we were warning you, you guys wanted Tim Scott to become president. Yeah, he finished fifth in New Hampshire and third in his home state of South Carolina. Did we hire the ballot chasers? No. Did we secure the elections? No. But hey, you guys ran your super PAC ads. How'd that work out for you? Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Does lack of energy, memory issues, brain fog, and other mysterious health issues cause you distress? If so, listen up, because I dealt with the same exact issues until I found Strong Cell. Strong Cell is a liquid NADH supplement packed with highly bioavailable CoQ10, marine collagen, and tons of essential vitamins. All of these work together with NADH to improve your health at the cellular level. There are cells in every area of your body, so if your cells are healthy, you'll be healthier. I'm asked by a lot of nutrition companies to endorse their products, and I say no to most of them. But once I saw what Strong Cell did for me personally, I reached out and teamed up with them. Go to strongcell.com/Charlie today and check it out for yourself. I take it every day, and it's made a big impact on my life. Remember, this is not an overnight fix. It's repairing your body at the cellular level, so you got to give it time for it to work. I recommend you try the 30-day supply to give your body the greatest chance to see the benefits. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie or call 888-596-0155 or use promo code Charlie to get a special 20% off discount. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. What makes this show different is that we're doers. Show's the main thing I do every day, and then I do my day job. Organize students on campus. We're hiring 50 new people. We raise a good amount of money, praise the Lord. We have 280,000 donors. Why does that make this show different? I can speak from authority of what is working and what is not working. Building an actual organization like our 501c4 Turning Point Action, it's not easy. Tyler Boyer does a great job, Austin Smith, the whole thing. The point is this, is that I'm able to give some insight, I believe, that these other people, you know, like this one guy who I'm not going to say, who hosts a radio program. It's like, oh, the real reason they're indicting Trump is because they want to run against Trump. I'm like, dude, just like stick to sports. Okay. It's ridiculous. So I could tell you that one of the conversations I had recently was with some DeSantis advisors. And they said, Charlie, how dare you send out these sort of tweets? This is before the tweet, but at the essence, I've been not how dare you like Greta Thunberg, but they were pretty upset. And they said that, you know, a vote has not even been cast. That's true. Sort of. There were votes cast, not officially, at the Turning Point Action Conference where you guys decided not to show up. And 85% of our attendees support Donald Trump. So my message or my question to anybody, and they're welcome on the program, Tim Scott or Chris Christie or Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis, how do you plan to win over Trump voters? Now, what you have to answer that question directly, and you can't dodge, or you could do the Chris Christie thing, which is just be super against Trump, and yes, you will get like 5 or 6% of the vote, okay? So what is the plan? What is the path? And if you don't have an answer to that, you're running for president for the wrong reasons. What is your path to beating Trump, to moving his ridiculously loyal supporters away from him? Do you have any evidence that those voters will walk away from Trump? Any evidence in a straw poll, in an event, in donations, in a primary previously? Do you have any evidence that in a Republican primary, when Donald Trump is enthusiastically involved, that you can go head to head and beat him? Not hopium, not that I'm sitting on $120 million. That sounds like John Ellis Bush, Jeb, who sat on $100 million. So I don't need to hear these like long lectures about how your campaign strategy is different. And some people say, well, one of the DeSantis intelligentsia people, which again, I love DeSantis as a governor. Terrific, 100%. I refuse to say a negative word about him. That nuance is lost on some people because they think I'm against him. I'm pro-America because I want to defeat the Marxists, okay? So I say to them, they say to me, oh, we're going to expand the primary electorate to low propensity Republicans and people that are outside of the Trump base. Like, that's not going to happen. Okay? The only person to ever substantially and significantly expand the Republican primary electorate is Donald J. Trump. And if that were true, why is it that Ron DeSantis does not have an avalanche of small dollar donations? Small dollar donations you cannot fake. Even more than rally attendance, small dollar donations are the harbinger of everything. How do I know that? This is how you knew Bernie Sanders was going to give Hillary Clinton a run for her money. Bernie Sanders should have been the nominee in 2016. Not that I am a big Bernie Sanders guy. He's a Marxist who hates the country. Hillary Clinton robbed it from Bernie Sanders. In fact, I think some of that resentment actually resulted in Donald Trump winning the presidency in 2016. That's a deeper conversation, but I think that the Sanders primary Trump general voter was actually completely ignored by the Clinton campaign. Not my main point. Bernie Sanders, Blake, you can get the numbers. I think he had like 1.3 million donors, something unbelievable. Small dollar donors results in caucus attendance. It results in all the different metrics. And here's the thing. If anybody wants to listen to me, if you're going to give $20 to Donald Trump, you're not a persuadable voter. I was looking through FEC reports last night. Unless I'm misreading it, Donald J. Trump in the last 6 months, his campaign had 474,000 transactions. Now, that's not donors because a donor can give more than once. But 474,000 transactions in a primary campaign? What is the path, guys? Even if you hate Donald Trump in this audience, you think he's the worst person ever. You think he's what? Show me a plan. And if there is not a plan, this primary is a vanity project for consultants. Not hopium, not bluster, not a bunch of vapor. What is the plan? No plan? Get out so we could defeat these Democrats in November of 2024.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around.
You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
The wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's improved your overall day-to-day, how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We've got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's balance of nature because it's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life and I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. Got more energy and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
So there are a couple other incentives that might be at play here as to why this primary will not be ended. And the number one goal is not to get us to defeat the Marxist Democrats in November of 2024. Do not underestimate the ideological component to this. Populist nationalism, which in particular looks to reorient the conservative Republican movement on three main issues, is one of the main reasons why Republican elites do not want to see Donald Trump be successful. What are those three issues? There's a fourth that I could add, which is probably the most important for this particular election. Free trade, open borders, endless wars. Donald Trump has stood against those three things, which is a rejection of neoliberalism, and neoliberalism is baked into the DNA of the Republican elites. They're perfectly fine with endless piles of plastic coming from overseas. They want no such immigration control. In fact, they're running PSAs saying we need more people in our country, more people. It's going to solve our problems. And they are enthusiastically in support of escalating the conflict in Ukraine. There is a sinister agenda here, and I don't know what portion of the Republican elites believe this, but it's certainly a belief, which is this. We're going to give it our best shot in the primary and make a lot of noise. A lot of noise so it's memorable. We're going to lose, but we'll make money while doing it. And then Donald Trump will lose the general. This is their calculation. And we will be able to say, I told you so, and we'll be aggressively able to steamroll over populist nationalist ideas and put them into the dustbin of history. That is without a doubt the driving and motivating factor by some of the Republican elites. The same way that they were able to eulogize the Tea Party, it went away. When in reality, the Tea Party didn't go away. The Tea Party transformed into the MAGA movement. Very same energy. Donald Trump actually got a lot of his political start with the Tea Party. Now, what's frustrating is that DeSantis, I actually think, believes in 9 out of 10 of the conservative populist pillars. He waffled on Ukraine, which was suspicious, but I think DeSantis actually believes in a lot of this stuff, and some of the speeches DeSantis has been giving have actually been pretty good from a policy perspective. They have, without a doubt. Some people criticize the policy stuff. It's actually pretty deep. It's actually pretty good. But that's not what the Republican base wants. They just don't want pre-scripted policy because they don't trust you. That's the difference. They have to trust you. And so the issue is that there's a fair amount of Republican cabal leaders that say, oh boy, they know Trump's going to be the nominee. They know it even more than some of the candidates know it. But they're doing this to make a lot of noise, like Chris Christie, raise some money, warn donors, be like, hey, we're heading off an abyss. We're heading into a terrible direction. Donald Trump, in their estimation, is going to lose the general. They could do an unbelievably obnoxious November of December 2024 of, I told you so. This is a toxic movement. We have to win over suburban women. Donald Trump is terrible. He should be thrown into jail. This is their plan. Yes, they are playing Russian roulette with America so they could say, I told you so. That's sick. Think about how demented you must be to worry about credit when we're up against this unprecedented destructive force. And they're worried about who is going to say, I told you so. After an election, they think certainly Donald Trump is going to lose. What is the driving force of that? Ego, pride, narcissism, not love of country. So they want to eradicate populism and nationalism. They want to make neoliberalism the premier. But here's the problem, is that Donald Trump, whether he becomes president again in 2024, which he has a great chance to do if we get our act together, but I'm also going to tell you it's going to be harder than you think. His legacy, no matter what, and he can be really proud of this, and he should, is that he has changed the conservative movement in so many profound ways. We are a fighting movement now. We play offense now. We know the media is against us. We have small dollar donors. We're a movement of the muscular class. We represent people that work with their hands. We stand against neoliberalism. These are long-lasting legacies that honestly is even more impactful sometimes than a single presidency. Way more impactful. Like, what's the long-lasting legacy of George Herbert Walker Bush's single presidency? Awful immigration policy? Probably. That's like his lasting legacy. The Persian Gulf War? I mean, like, whatever. Donald Trump has changed the entire half of the country and reoriented it and reconfigured it. And if you look deeply at it and you listen carefully to how these people are talking on TV, it's not about Donald Trump's, you know, criminality or handling of documents or January 6th. No. It's his ideas that they hate. And more than that, they hate that you all of a sudden have a seat at the table. They hate that you're allowed to sit at the table and you're able to say, hold on, I'm a carpenter. I don't think that's a good idea. Like, why are we sending money to Ukraine? They want to say, shut up, serf. Go do opioids. Shut up, peasant. You're not allowed to have a voice. We only listen to oligarchs. It is this, Plato wrote about this in The Republic. It's this idea of the secret knowledge. It's very important. Without getting too deep into this, Plato believed in two separate forms of knowledge, messaging to the commoners and then a secret gnosis or a secret knowledge or a secret mind. They don't think that you are capable of being able to understand the deeper things. They have contempt for you. They say this out loud, right? They call you deplorable, smelly Walmart people. What is the essence of that? The essence is that you are not part of the secret society. You don't have the degrees. You're not part of the Harvard Club. We are going to wall off all of society so that we're in charge. The Founding Fathers did not believe this. The Founding Fathers believed that all men are created equal. All of you have the ability to access wisdom. They believe in a philosopher king. We're the only ones that are able to actually call the shots. The Founding Fathers believed in the empowerment of all citizens. Huge difference. That's really what's at play here. Woodrow Wilson believes in a unelected technocratic elite. Founding Fathers believed that people are the driving force of a republic. And so we're seeing these polls, and I just want to reiterate, what is the plan, man? I think Ron DeSantis has an unbelievably bright future in politics. I think Ron DeSantis has an extraordinary role to play to keep Florida red, to keep Florida this beacon of freedom. The fact I say this, people attack me. I don't care. I say things on this program that I get attacked every single day. So bring it on, man. With all due respect, Governor DeSantis and your team, you're messing up your future with this, the way you're running this campaign. You are damaging future political prospects, and that pains me. They refuse to acknowledge that. They're like, no, we're going to pierce through. I mean, I saw Ken Cuccinelli being interviewed by Matt Gaetz. He's like, well, I've never known a front runner that is a leader in the summer who ends up in the fall, ends up in the winning the Iowa caucus. First of all, Trump was winning all throughout that summer, especially post-Megyn Kelly debate. Number two, how many times do I have to say this? And it's like I'm talking to myself. The rules of politics do not apply to Trump. You can argue with that. You can not like that. You could scream at the sky and be mad that it's raining. It doesn't stop raining just because you start screaming at the sky. Donald Trump he levitates against the forces of political gravity. Oh, well, it's not fair. He's a once in a century political figure. You can like it. You can hate it. But if you refuse to acknowledge it, you're delusional. I don't like delusional people. Usually they're in the trans lobby. Stop acting in a different reality. It's going to damage us ahead of November 2024. The fierce response to my take here is they say, you don't understand. And again, with all possible due respect, I kind of do understand, okay? We literally talk to millions of people every single week. We receive 35,000 emails every 10 to 15 days. Like, we're pretty in touch with the Republican base, probably above most of the people online that talk a big game. My number one driving motivator is not even like, oh, Donald Trump versus DeSantis. I am deathly afraid, and I'm not afraid of a lot. I'm not. When I acknowledge my fears, it's very few things. I am deathly afraid that the Democrats are going to steamroll us in November of 24. Why? Because we have a $1.5 billion vanity project and we are running out of time. We are running out of time and we are running out of time. You know, it's funny when you host a show like this, you can never host a show to make people happy. You just have to tell the truth and whatever. Do you know what the number one criticism I'm receiving is? People think I'm being too nice to DeSantis. That's the number one piece of, I don't care. It's everything I've said about DeSantis is true. Whatever. This is a big problem. So what are the Democrats spending money on right now? The boring stuff. Just look at America's Votes 990. $230 million, not on a primary. Go to americavotes.org. Shows all the organizations that they work with. That's just one of many ballot chasing operations. They're a collaboration organization. They call themselves the coordination hub of the progressive community. We've done some deep dive into this. They are laughing at us. In fact, if I was a Democrat, I'm not saying they're doing this, but boy, if I was a Democrat, I would try to have as many Republicans run for president. If I was a Democrat, I'd have the loudest, most obnoxious people running for the presidency against Donald Trump. Ones that don't have a snowball chance in hell, but ones that can make a lot of noise. If I was a Democrat, I would get Republicans to care about a vanity project, not infrastructure. If I was a Democrat who wanted to take over the country, I would do everything I possibly could to try to have Republicans think the primary matters and the general is subservient to that. But of course, the primary is really important. We have one email here. Someone says, Charlie, I hate Donald Trump. He's everything wrong with the conservative movement. Just wait. DeSantis is going to win. Yeah, that's not a good argument. So keep it coming. I want the best ones possible. Kind of do this for a living. I've thought about it. When we had Dave Rubin on the show, I have a lot of respect for Dave Rubin. He was like, well, Donald Trump's terrible. Again, not an argument. Like, how are you going to win over telling 55 to 60% of Republican base voters, the person they adore and they admire and they follow and they have loyalty to, is a liar? Not exactly a way to win. So what's the argument? What's the plan? You guys must have a plan, right? Or are we just doing this $1.5 billion to kind of just entertain ourselves? Is this just like the most sick and sinister Showtime special? Like, oh, we're bored. Let's do a $1.5 billion primary. You know what? Democrats are bored and they're probably going to beat us. We got a lot of emails. Charlie, how dare you say we're going to lose in 2024? Again, I don't know if we're going to lose, but we're on pace to lose. If this primary continues as it is and Donald Trump has to keep on spending money, we're going down a path where we're going to get obliterated and we're going to be like, oh my gosh, what happened? And Chris Christie and Sununu and Nikki Haley and Mike Pence will go on all the Mockingbird CIA networks. I already see it. They have it all planned, right? They probably already have it scheduled. Where they're going to go on all the shows and they're going to blame people like Charlie Kirk and they're going to blame Steve Bannon. They're going to blame you. They're going to say, oh my goodness, it's time to put MAGA to rest. Let's give the eulogy. Enough is enough. Put it into the dustbin of history. This is what they're planning to do. It's all scripted. And the primary plays a role in that. The primary sets the base where they could say, well, Mika, I got to tell you, remember, I was running for president and I was booed and I was this and I was that. And I think it's time for the Republican Party to get back to the roots of Ronald Reagan and of neoliberalism. That's the plan. Not once are they thinking, you know what? I love my country. I might not like Trump. He might be not my flavor, but by golly, my grandkids will live in a better nation if Donald Trump is a president. Doesn't even process this. Like, what? No, he's terrible. He's loud. He's a criminal. I want to play this one piece of tape here of Dwight D. Eisenhower. Why is Donald Trump succeeding? Because Donald Trump understands this is a crusade against the administrative elite, the very same administrative state Eisenhower warned us against. Play cut 47.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Why is Trump winning? Why is Trump succeeding? Because he understands the threat that Dwight D. Eisenhower laid out, the unelected Leviathan fourth branch of government, is the issue of the 2024 election. It's not a policy debate. It's not about courting donors. It's who's going to crush the Leviathan. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.